This is my grandson, Hunter, at his first birthday. Not surprisingly, one of the first words he learned was a butterfly. His question is a good one. Butterflies, what happened here? Hold on. All right. Butterflies have a special connection to people. They don't sting, bite, or carry disease. I know a lot of entomologists study things that sting, bite, or carry diseases and enjoy that, but most people in the general public do not. Surveys show that they're the wildlife that people most want near their homes. And of course, butterflies are associated with freedom and with the human soul. Once they actually see them, people have a hard time taking their eyes off of them. And I'll bet some of you are having a hard time taking your eyes off of them right now. And I've stripped this talk of any humor because I'm, you know, talking to scientists. So, of course, butterflies are dramatic. The equation E equals mc squared, which, much to my dismay, Albert Einstein thought of before me, is to remind me to tell you that you don't have to be an Einstein to realize that the size and drama that you perceive is relative to the distance between you and an observed animal. It's true that butterflies are smaller than birds and mammals, but one can approach them much more closely so that they occupy a relatively larger proportion of your field of vision. When approached closely, this orange-barred sulfur will actually look bigger than an ocelot. So, butterflies are the perfect way to show people the beauty and the interconnectedness of the natural world. Butterflying as an activity began in 1985 with the New York City Butterfly Club. This was the first time a group of people approached butterflies the way that birders approach birds, that is, with binoculars and with cameras. You can see that since that time, public involvement with butterflies has greatly increased. We believe that butterflying will eventually involve more people than does birding. To encourage this trend, we are creating Nava Butterfly Park, intended to be the major center for education, conservation, and scientific study of wild butterflies. Well, where is the butterfly park? It's located in extreme southern Texas, right on the Mexican border. Let's see if I can... I know I'm not supposed to use a laser pointer, but I don't know how to do this mouse thing. So there is where it is in South Texas. It's adjacent to a unit of the Lower Rio Grande Valley National Wildlife Refuge. So if you look here, this is the park outlined in red. Right next to us is a unit of the Wildlife Refuge. And right next to that is Benson Rio Grande Valley State Park, a major state park for Texas. So in addition to the butterfly park, there is a lot of adjacent natural habitat. And in addition, and importantly, very close to us, actually right about here off the map, is the headquarters for the World Birding Center that's being established by Texas Parks and Wildlife. And this project is synergistic with the butterfly park. The park is located along one of the nicest stretches of the Rio Grande. Much of the river down here is not as attractive, but we're lucky to be on a very nice stretch of the river. When we began planting the land in 2003, the park was an empty agricultural field. By 2004, we had created the beginnings of a demonstration garden. The gardens were quickly found by bands of roving butterflies. And of course, if you plant their caterpillar food plants, butterflies will find them. One of the first plants we put in the ground was Pithecolobium dulce. It's the it's called in English sweet monkey pod. In Spanish it's called guaymuchil. It's the caterpillar food plant for red-bordered metal marks. And here you can see a female laying her beautiful mint-colored eggs on the tree. Well, the eggs hatch, and eventually one sees these fascinating caterpillars. By the way, the word caterpillars is not only understandable to everyone, including children, it's actually a much better scientific word to use for the larval stages of butterflies and moths because it's more precise than is the word larva. So I strongly urge all of you when talking about butterfly larvae to call them caterpillars because it communicates much better with people and it's more precise. Well, eventually, the caterpillars become red-bordered pixie adults, which are designed to make everybody smile. Actually, since we planted the beginnings of the park, we've seen now almost 200 kinds of butterflies in what was an empty agricultural field. Although the park focuses on butterflies, conserving 100 acres of Rio Grande Valley native habitat conserves all creatures, large and small. We haven't yet seen any ocelots at the park, but we will. Other than ocelots, why have we put the park in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas? Well, the lower Rio Grande Valley is by far the best area of the United States for butterfly diversity and abundance. Even compared to other warm and southern sections of the United States, such as Miami and our present location here, San Diego, the valley has many more butterfly species and many more individual butterflies flying. So this is the number of species that you can expect to see in a single day at this site, at the one spot. Like if you were in this room, walking around this room, if it was the butterfly park, you would see 100 kinds of butterflies. And again, I want to emphasize, we've heard a lot of talks about zoos and insect exhibits, and those are great, but this is like, you might go to a zoo to see giraffes, like the Bronx Zoo or something, and see a giraffe, and that'd be nice. But most people would find it even more exciting to go to Africa and see the giraffes in their native habitat, and that's what this is. This is a butterfly safari, okay? You're going to see the butterflies in their native habitats. When you consider the populations that are found throughout the year, it becomes obvious that only in the Rio Grande Valley can one create a butterfly park that's active and filled with butterflies throughout the year. You know, San Diego is one of the warmest spots of the United States, but there aren't many butterfly species flying out there today. Okay, and this is shows you what you might expect around Miami. So if you can only put a seasonal facility in these places, and then again, the numbers of butterflies would be nothing like what they are down in the valley. Another reason to locate the butterfly park in the valley is to help the local economy of what is one of the poorest areas of the United States. The three counties at the southernmost tip of Texas are the three poorest counties of the United States. And we want to do something to help the people there and help them at the same time doing something that improves the quality of the environment. The numbers that you see here are incredibly conservative. When you consider that, for example, 52 million tourists a year visit Orlando, Florida. Orlando is extremely hot and humid. It was largely a swamp with mosquitoes before Disney World was located there. We're certain that the Rio Grande Valley, with its unique butterflies, birds, and other attractions, can become a legitimate ecotourist attraction. Hopefully not attracting 52 million tourists, but a very large number nonetheless. Showcasing the heightened interest in butterflies, this is part of an article that appeared earlier this year in the New York Times. And again, we didn't do anything to solicit this article or others that have appeared this year in Southern Living and other places. This article appeared on the front page of an entire section and then took the entire back page of that section. All the photos in the article were taken at Napa Butterfly Park, and if you look at the map, you can see that the most prominent thing on the map is Napa Butterfly Park here for South Texas. The opening of the park in October of 2004 attracted a rather large crowd. These people really are from all over the country, and actually all over the world. There are people there from England and other places. Many of them search for butterflies. Here, they look up into a tree, and you may say, what are they looking at? Well, they were looking at a silver emperor. This is the actual butterfly they were looking at. This is the only place in the United States where one can find this butterfly. It's essentially a Mexican butterfly. Mexican butterflies. I mean, let's face it, the Rio Grande Valley is essentially part of Mexico. So, another group, actually not at the park opening, but rather at the park last week. I took this photo literally a week ago down at the park. They weren't looking up, but they were looking, chose to look downward at a butterfly, and they were looking at this butterfly. It's a Cyna blue. It's a tiny butterfly, rarely seen in the United States. This butterfly would fit on the fingernail of your pinky. If you look down at your pinky and your fingernail, this butterfly would fit in that space. And you can see then that many people can enjoy the same butterfly. You don't have to have a net or a bag or anything. All of these people are looking at that same tiny butterfly with their binoculars and having a great time doing so. Actually, many people travel long distances and see the same butterfly. There's a network now of people that get notified when rare things are showing up, and they immediately travel, sometimes long distances. I've actually seen the same, traveled from New Jersey to Arizona and seen the same butterfly 2 days after it was found. Quite a few of these rare butterflies are showing up at Napa Butterfly Park, including some species that have never before been recorded from the United States. And as I say, many people are enjoying them. This is a cross-barred white. This is a thick-tip Greta that showed up at the park a few years ago, and this got a lot of people quite excited, as you might gather. This was the first clear wing to show up in the United States in more than 100 years. And just last week, this was November, but actually one was there 2 days ago also. This is a one-spotted Propona. This species had a lot of TV coverage, actually TV stories about it down the valley, and a full-page story in the newspaper. So you could probably, if you got on a plane tonight, you might be able to see it tomorrow. The award-winning master plan for the park was created by our architect, Wendy Evans Joseph. She was the principal architect of the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. And our landscape architects are Andropogon Associates, who are perhaps the leading landscape architects focused on natural landscapes, and they were finalists for the Beijing Olympics. The point is, what we're trying to create here is a truly world-class venue to showcase butterflies. The park is already intensively used. Thousands of local school children learn the value of butterflies and the importance of native habitat. Our plant nursery supplies native plants not only for the park itself, but for the butterfly gardens that are being planted more and more frequently throughout the Rio Grande Valley, often with the help of the staff at the park. Community support for the butterfly park is growing. This is last April. A group of 200 civic leaders, including the mayor, came together for a gala evening to support the park, and another one is planned for this coming April. You're all invited to come. April 19th, Mission, Texas. This coming year, we hope to break ground for the Welcome Center, which will be our first major building. It'll house a series of exciting exhibits, including to the usual ones that you might think about butterfly biology and life history. There'll be exhibits about entitled Why Care About Butterflies, Butterflies and Human Culture, which is a tremendously interesting area. It'll also have a gift shop and a cafe. This photo was taken at Rice University. You can see, if you're perceptive, or I guess if the lights make it a little hard, but you can see a wedding was just about to take place. The reason I show this photo is because Napa Butterfly Park and Rice University are engaged to be married. We're not actually married yet, we're just engaged. The plan is for Rice University to use a portion of the Butterfly Park as a field station where we will conduct scientific research on butterflies and on butterfly-plant interactions and on restoration biology. In addition, the plan is for Rice University faculty to use the park as a facility to offer courses in field biology to students drawn from throughout the Rio Grande Valley. And I'm actually at this point an adjunct professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at Rice. One of the many programs of the North American Butterfly Association is the Butterflies I've Seen website. This database already holds more than 1 million records of butterfly sightings. It's only been in existence for a couple of years. There's more than 1 million records of butterfly sightings. It'll soon allow us to ask, and what people feed in when they go out and look at butterflies for the day, which now thousands and thousands of people are doing. They go out with binoculars and try to see what they see. And with cameras, with the cameras that we've got today, almost every rare butterfly can be documented with it. They go out for the day, they go into this site, they enter into it, we have drop-down lists and stuff for each state, enter into it the numbers of what they saw for each species, it goes into an Oracle database, and this year or next we're going to get to the point where that will all get put back out as real-time maps where you can see everybody's sightings, or you can see your own, you can see it in your backyard by where it was found. So this database is going to be incredibly valuable to scientists. We're going to be able to ask questions such as, for example, what environmental factors are correlated with increases in banded hairstreak populations in the United States? Right now we have no idea, but I bet you that in a few years we will be able to start answering those kind of questions. We believe that there's a correlation between how much public interest there is in a group of organisms and how much funding is available for scientific research. Here you can see there's much more research related to birds than to butterflies. Now, of course, there's a lot of money for a lot of entomological research because it's of great practical value. That's not particularly true of butterflies. And here, if you just compare the research, the number of grants for birds versus butterflies, it's actually bigger when you look at the actual dollars. You can see there's a big difference. Likewise, if you were to look at butterflies versus dragonflies, you can see there's a big difference. And we think that an awful lot of this simply has to do, really, with the popularity of group, how much it's out there, how many people are interested in it. So in the end, we think that the explosive growth of butterflying will both expand scientific research related to butterflies and will help us to conserve butterflies and other insects. Then I'm going to show you if it works, and I don't know if it will or not here, a little video I took with my little still camera at the park, just to give you a little idea. I don't know if you could hear that at all. No. There were about 54 species of butterflies found in that bush that day. Okay, and there's a lot of butterflies there. We're just about at the end. I just want to say, in addition to its bounty of butterflies, the Butterfly Park is truly a special and beautiful place, standing in a crossroads between the temperate zone and the tropics. On the day this photo was taken, a few months ago, more than 200,000 barn swallows flew over the park at sunset, migrating southward. Later that evening, a beautiful moon rose over the Butterfly Park. Many talks end with a sunset, but I thought maybe we'd go out and look for moths instead. Thank you very much. And there's some information about the North American Butterfly Association here if anyone wanted. And as mentioned, there's a couple of copies of a book. Thank you. No, there's a lot of very knowledgeable people that come, for one thing. In fact, there's huge crowds. And this time of year, there are like 100 knowledgeable people there in a day that fly there from all over the country. And usually they help the other people. But we do have some signage and we've got some things, but we're not at the stage yet. We're at the prehistory stage. We only have those little gardens. We haven't have our building exhibit or designed exhibits or anything yet. Once we do, we will have exhibits inside. I think this is going to be one of the few places. Can you hear me okay? I think this is going to be one of the few places. You know, there's an awful lot of places that are very good at indoor exhibits and showing things. And then there's some places that are very good at outdoor things, like a beautiful botanical garden and so forth. And in my experience, mainly, there's not so much a combination of the two. And here, this is going to be, we're going to have indoor stuff. It's going to be really, really first-rate exhibits. But then we have outdoor stuff where you walk through and you see the aerial butterflies. And a lot of the exhibits will be outdoors. The plan is to have decorative walls that have embedded within them computer screens and so forth that we can program and have it right next to a croton plant and say, you know, at your feet is this croton plant which is being used by leaf-wing butterflies, you know, caterpillars, you know, and that kind of thing. So right now, but there are often people there that do help them, but the idea is to create exhibits that go there. Yes, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Right now it's $5. I mean, once we build this building and so forth, it'll be more. We don't know for sure, you know, it'll be at least 10 or something like that. Because, yeah, the idea is to make this sustainable and help the economy of the region. You know, it's great to do everything for nothing, but... They charge more than 20 now. Exactly, exactly right. And here's the other thing. And what we're going to have different rates. We already do. We have a different rate for people that live in the valley, and people who don't. And so my feeling is, if somebody comes from Indiana to go look for butterflies down in the valley, which is what happens, or from England, they can well afford $10 or something like that. They've spent much more money getting there, their hotels, and everything else. So I don't think that's really an issue. And the local people, there will be different rates for.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, we don't do that. We don't believe in that. We strongly don't believe in that. Very strongly don't believe in that. No, almost any circumstance. Everything that's at the park is there of its own volition. What we've done is create habitat that butterflies like. By planting the caterpillar food plants, by planting the nectar plant sources for adults. And so by doing those two things together in a kind of large-scale, systematic way, we have made already what's already by far the best place in the Rio Grande Valley for butterflies. And as I say, people travel already there from all over the world in small numbers so far to see these butterflies. They don't get put there, the butterflies.
Other questions? We want to use the time that we have left, as long as you want to stay for the next few minutes, to ask questions of any of the presenters. And while Jeffrey's up there, and I don't think it was by accident that you mentioned Indiana. No, we're kind of poor. We probably won't travel down there. But what is the status of the butterfly counts around the country? I mean, this is something we can all do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have, okay, the question was, what's the status of the butterfly counts? That's a good question. I didn't talk about this, but the North American Butterfly Association runs the 4th of July count program in the United States, 1st of July counts in Canada, 16th of September counts in Mexico. The 4th of July counts center on the 4th of July period. They're all over the country. This year, for the first time, we're going to have web-based entry. So up to now, in each compiler that did the count, they're based, how many of you are familiar with Christmas bird counts? Most of you. So they're extremely similar to the idea of Christmas bird counts, but doing butterflies. And this year, for the first time, we're going to have it that you can do it on the web. And I showed the graphic about how the participation in the counts has so greatly increased. So hopefully we're going to do even more, and we've expanded it to have, in addition to 4th of July counts, to have spring and fall counts. So you can, if you want, have organized counts in the spring and the fall of the same circles and provide even more information. And again, all of this will be, you'll be able to enter this on the web.
I don't know if any of you have participated in butterfly counts or not, but my question is this. In places where they've had them for a number of years, does the contact with the public go up and more and more people come to these things?
In general, there's variation because, you know, a lot depended on the compiler and where it is in the country and how they were running it, but in general, that's true. Currently, there's about 500 counts, which compares pretty favorably. I think the number of, like, Christmas bird counts, it's about 2,500. I mean, it's been going on since 1899. And we currently now we have about 500 of the 4th of July counts. And so, yeah, there are more and more people. It really, the butterflying thing started, as I said, in New York City. There's many more people involved in the Northeast than there are yet in the rest of the country, although in a serious way. I mean, so in the Northeast, the participation on a lot of these counts is very high. I mean, you'll get, you know, the count, there'll be like 50 people or more. And basically everybody's interaction with butterflies there is with binoculars and cameras, whereas in parts of the West, it's not necessarily that way yet.